Welcome to Angel Wars, series number 30. And I'm Diana Pulliam with the Mighty Hand of God here with Lauren Peterson. Today is May 8th, 2026. And what I'd like to do, Lauren, is go ahead, open in prayer, and then quickly recap episode number 29, because there are several things I know we need to touch on tonight, and I just want to open the mic up for you here as soon as I can. So let me just open in prayer, and then I'll do the recap. Father in heaven, holy, 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 Lord God is your name. Father, we join your many people around the earth who I know are praying fervently for your kingdom to come. And for your will, your perfect will to be done here on the earth, just as it is in heaven. May your Holy Spirit be here with us right now in our midst. Father, I ask you to anoint Lauren and my lips to speak as led by you. We ask the ears of any and all who will hear this message to be anointed, to hear what you're saying to your people in this hour. You have told me to call aloud, awake, O Israel, awaken out of slumber. So Father, may this call go out to awaken your people at this time. Have your way here tonight, Lord God. May your will be done. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Praise you.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, Lauren, some Amen. Of the very things that we touched upon last episode and episode 29 are unfolding before us as we speak. We touched upon all the false narratives, you know, being spouted by the enemy as they attempt to lead us down and off his path, right? We talked about the beast system, how it's rising all around us, and all the prophecies regarding this day are now converging. And we talked about the good news, how that good news is our God is sovereign and his will alone will be done. Nothing can be done by the enemy before. In other words, he's on a leash. So that is what I think we all need to remember. That is the good news. And we talked about how the serpent seed is being revealed. The judgments of our God are and will be released in his perfect timing. And his judgments are true and righteous. And praise the Lord, all will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Every knee will bow and tongue confess that he, Jesus, is Lord in the end. And as all unfolds, we must all, you brought this point out very succinctly. You said that we must be ever so diligent to keep our eyes, our focus upon the Lord, to not allow ourselves to be drawn off sides or off course by this or that report out there, you know, and we cannot compromise. That was the huge message, I believe, on the last program. We better not compromise. We will not compromise. Get that settled in our heart right now. And you ask the question, how far are we willing to sacrifice for the truth? How about if it costs you your income, your job? How about groceries? You know, in this world, we're seeing many willing to sacrifice everything in order to stand for the truth. Around the earth, so many of our brothers and sisters are going through horrible atrocities. They're refusing to compromise. Martyrdom is at an all-time high. We hear of those whistleblowers out there losing jobs, being blacklisted, you know, costing them like family, friends, reputation, right? At times, their life. takes that part on when they are not going to compromise anymore. Maybe they've seen enough and they start speaking the truth. So here again, what's that question? Are you, am I willing to pay the price? The Lord asked that question to me not too long ago. Are you willing to pay the price? There's a whole sermon along that line, but speaking of the Israel / U.S. / Iran war / the world, right? You mentioned all the horrors of this war, you know, the horrific destructions, the worldwide mayhem this is causing, the economic destruction unfolding before our eyes right now. And now they're speaking about lack of various foods, various crops, shortages. And you tied that in with serpent seed, you know, what he wants, what he's always wanted, chaos and destruction. That great reset they keep talking about, 2030 agenda, right? In the back rooms, how they say they need to create order out of the chaos. We need to know, I believe, who the serpent seed is, who the enemy is, or be sucked into their fate. Jesus, you mentioned this, and that was very exciting. I've had some wonderful reports back of how encouraging that episode was. You said Jesus came to restore the 12 stone covenant, but he was rejected by them because they didn't want to let go of the 9 stone covenant. They want to go back to the 9 stone covenant under Lucifer. That's what we see unfolding right now. Remember, he was originally the high priest of the 9 stone covenant. And you mentioned a high ranking rabbi. And I've read stories the same, how decades ago admitted that they worshiped Lucifer. We've had others that have come out saying that. They admit, some of them, that they worshiped Lucifer. These are following the fallen ones. They're following the fallen ones of the 9 stone covenant, and they do not want to bow to Jesus and his 12 stone covenant. And this ties into what we see unfolding as we speak. We touched a little bit on it before we started this recording, but we've spoken several times in the past episodes how all around us, there seems to not be a love for the truth. We've brought up 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 and 11, and it says that for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. The last time we spoke, we referenced the Age of Disclosure documentary that was all the news back in at that time, where all levels, various levels of the military and various congressmen and women were beginning their talk with, we are not alone. And Steven Spielberg even has his new film called Disclosure Day to be released in a month or two. I think it's June, July, I can't remember. But it's all converging, Lauren. A couple days ago, on the 6th, it was just after awakening. Very, very sobering is all I can say right now. But just after awakening, the Lord said, and I was sitting in my chair where I normally do a lot of study and prayer, and I was just sitting quietly, and he said, behold your gods, O Israel. It's like, what? Behold your gods, O Israel. And it was immediately downloaded, the reminding of Exodus 32, where Aaron made the golden calf, and he said, these are your gods, O Israel. Wow. And then, in 1 Kings 12:28, Jeroboam said the same thing after he created the two golden calves. He quoted that very same thing. He said, "Behold your gods, O Israel." Now, the Trump administration's released the first batch of files on the so-called aliens, alien craft, bodies of aliens. I don't know what all it consists of. I've not went on and read about any of them, but that was released big time news today. And I believe we're getting ready to hear the same things when they show up on the scene. They're going to be saying, just think about this. L.A. Marzulli says this all the time, and it kind of explains what we're in the past and what we're probably going to see. But he says, Nephilim architecture, fallen angel technology. I believe we're getting ready to hear the same things when they show up on the scene in our day. They're going to be saying something along the lines of, "We created you, and we have returned to save you." I believe it's probably going to be after a huge calamity happens. Say a bomb goes off, a nuke, or who knows what's going to happen that will cause such fear in the heart of man. And we know that's what they need. The chaos, the fear. After all these disclosures, everybody, I think we're on the brink of the great falling away. The pastors of most of the churches who they refuse to even call upon the congregation to speak about sin. They refuse to call upon them to repent. They don't want to lose their funding, do they? They don't want people to walk away. These pastors have not readied their congregation. They've not educated them on angel wars or what happened before and what has been prophesied to happen at the end of days. So I want to read something, and it's real short, that a member of my prayer group sent me this morning. She heard this, quote, "The pressure is being felt by all, but the lost have nothing stable to stand on. The secret place is the healing balm, the stable rock to stand on for my people. Come to me, receive rest in me. No one is equipped for what is to come apart from me. I am your refuge and strength, an ever-present help to all who come and abide. Those who look to the world and man will be disappointed and very vulnerable. Intercede for them in prayer, for eyes to see and ears to hear truth over the lies of the enemy. Your equipping is coming, my children, to do the works you are called for. So abide in the secret place and listen." And that's what you talked about last time, Lauren. The activation of the 12 stone covenant, I think, is just ahead. So let me stop here, and I'm going to turn the mic over to you. Now, what say you about all this, Lauren?
I know nothing. I see nothing. I hear nothing, right? It'd be so easy to stick one's head in the sand, live in la-la land, and pretend nothing bad is going on. But if you have a heart, any kind of heart at all, when you see what's going on in the world, you cry tears inside, maybe even literal tears from your eyes, the horror show that's unfolding every day. So for a number of days, you know, it's a sadness I feel. Such needless. It's totally unneeded. There's other ways to accomplish things beyond what we're seeing, how they're doing it. But from their perspective, it is necessary to bring about what they want in the world. It's like sometimes I see things going on and I know what it means. I know what's going on and I want to shout it from the rooftops, but that haul me away. put me in a straitjacket, and inject me with full of drugs. Okay. The great disclosure, folks, is coming. If the government ever tells the truth about anything, you have to wonder, they most likely are concealing a greater lie. So if the government does truly come out with stuff today and later on about the ET, the alien phenomenon, for people like myself, we've studied this stuff for decades, so it's like no big shocker. It's like you're late to the party. My dad would always say, better late than never. It's not a surprise to me. It's one of those things I've been looking into over the decades, along with a whole bunch of other stuff. But what's the greater lie? Okay, so the government rolls out with some facts, and they're warning some key church pastor televangelists, right? giving them the heads up to prepare their congregations, right, for the shocking truths. Well, if you've been involved in this stuff, even if you're not a Christian, but you've been involved in MUFON, for example, Mutual UFO Network, any of these types of things, have you read Zechariah Sitchin's books? Have you read The Chariot of the Gods books? You read all those books from the 60s and 70s and onward, right? And even today, so modern day authors, it's like they kind of make it look like it's something new, like, wow, we just discovered this. Well, I've read that stuff decades ago already. It's nothing new to me, but it might be new to newer generations, of course, but newer generations would then have to go back and find the books like what I read to see, well, that's nothing new. But what is new, folks, like people I mentioned this before, like Graham Hancock, is better tools, better technology. The technology today is awesome. And even the ability to go back to former examinations with newer technology to find things that were missed decades ago or even not detected at all. They can now detect it. So just everything is exploding across the board from A to Z, even in the scientific community. And so much of it, from my perspective, is actually proving God's word. It's not detracting from it one bit, but under the traditional model of Christianity, of creation and everything, they're going to say, oh, that's of the devil, because they don't even understand the Bible they claim to understand. And what horrifies me the most about this big disclosure that the government's going to roll out if they follow through on it about the Greys, the reptilians, the spaceships, we recovered actual spacecraft. Here's the photos. Here's the 8mm, 16mm films that were shot back in the 50s, you know, or 47 with the Roswell crash, you know, and there was a bunch of other crashes that happened, but Roswell's the most famous one that we're aware of, usually aware of. Okay, so so many pastors are not prepared for this, and their congregations are not prepared for this. And so they're going to take, the pastors most likely will take a fallback position and say, well, that's of the devil. Oh, they're just demons masquerading as grays or masquerading as alpha centurions or, you know, kind of stuff. And just totally blow it off. Reduce it down to the simplest equation possible that even a child would find ridiculous. You can teach this advanced stuff to children. I substitute taught for a while, and then I taught a little bit in a Sunday school, not much, but what I found out was, especially teaching, substitute teaching, is grade schoolers and junior high, in that age range, they're more open to advanced ideas than high schoolers, but especially adults. Because by the time you're an adult, you pretty much solidified your thought process and how your worldview about things. And if you're a Christian, your view of the Bible, you pretty much have solidified it along the traditional teachings. And so anything that runs contrary to the traditional teachings or contrary what your pastor says or Brother Bob says, well, it's of the devil. and you're going to close your ears off. You're not going to look at the evidence. You're just going to turn away from it. And so what happens? What happens if this stuff is true? It's not just demons. When you break things down in the Bible, you find out, yeah, there are demons, but they're not masquerading as ETs. They're demons. They're the soul, spirit, soul energy of the Nephilim that were drowned during the Noah's flood. They were the unholy union of the 200 watchers that came down on Mount Hermon and took upon themselves the wives that they so choose and begat children of their own, known as the giants, the Nephilim. All right. So these were children. These were beings. So the giants, I mean, some estimates that I've read, 300-400 foot tall giants. These were massive. Okay. Now, when you understand, in former shows, I mentioned that Adam and Eve, there's a lot of foundational dots you have to connect scripturally in order to unravel the truth behind all this stuff, or you're going to be swept away and possibly swept into the great delusion itself. Okay. You have to have certain foundational understandings of scripture, and you cannot deviate from those. One of those, of course, that we all agree upon is who Jesus Christ was, is, and forever shall be, and what he accomplished on the cross on our behalf. That should be 101 across the board. So if you believe in flat earth, but you're born again and your sins are washed away by the Jesus, you proclaim Jesus, but the flat earth ain't the real deal. Well, you're still going to heaven, but you got your theology wrong. Now, the downside, though, is how many people have you misled with that false narrative? And so when the facts do come out that, in fact, the earth is round, not a perfect circle, of course, but it's round, not flat. What kind of testimony are you going to have to people then that's going to bear any weight? They're going to look at you like, get out of my face. I'm going to go with Sitchin and the 12th planet. With the aliens, with the Nibirians, you know, your version of reality is totally bogus, okay? And how many of those things under the traditional model is going to end up becoming bogus? And so the world's not going to listen to you. And one of the possible outcomes of this disclosure by the government is that is those who aren't Christians will now start maybe going to church, or they'll run into a pastor, run into the, you know, somebody at work who is a Christian, and now we have Christianity telling them the traditional explanations that won't wash. And then those people who desperately need the truth of Scripture will be turned away by Scripture, by a false presentation of that Scripture. Because so many people don't have the correct dots connected. And it pains me because they would just take their blindfolds off, they'd be able to see the big picture, and that's Christianity. Christianity operating with the blindfolds on, trying to describe different parts of the Bible. And so to compensate, to try to maintain the peace, they come up with a traditional theory that everybody can agree on. The problem is the traditional theory does not answer the hard questions, but neither does traditional science. So I've discussed in former shows, evolution more and more and more. The theory of evolution is being proven wrong, wrong, wrong. Not natural selection, but the theory of evolution. Natural selection is very valid. When God created Adam and Eve, when he created the animals, the plants, we can believe, so like in Adam and Eve's case, two parents, right? With embedded within the genetic DNA genome of Adam and Eve was every possible combination of offspring. Not only directly from them, but thousands of years into the future. This is borne out in, is it Hebrews chapter 7? I'm not sure, but it's where it describes that Abraham was paying a tithe to Melchizedek. I think that's in Hebrews. And unbeknownst to Abraham, but You know, 400 some years later, Aaron becomes the high priest, you know, the Levitical priesthood, that it can be said that Aaron already, through the loins of Abraham, down through 400 years, was already paying a tithe to Melchizedek. Now, that's an interesting concept there. Is that like a hint that within the loins of Abraham, already at Abraham, was the genetic material for who would become Aaron, Moses, and a whole bunch of others, right? That would come after him, right? The genetic material hundreds of years down the road was embedded in the loins of Abraham. So backtrack that to Adam. Embedded within the loins of Adam, the womb of Eve, was every possible outcome of babies, of genetic offspring, well into the future. An unlimited number of combinations and outcomes of people of heights and weights and looks and attitudes and personalities, okay? An unlimited number of combinations. That's just amazing, isn't it? Okay? I'm hoping you're understanding this. Not only that, but they were created perfect, okay? So today we're down to Russian scientists some years ago estimated from their studies that mankind in general is about 8% DNA activation. The rest of it is called junk DNA because they don't know what it does, if anything, right? So we can backtrack that to Adam and Eve. Do you think God would have created Adam and Eve at 8% activation with 92% just junk? Okay, with no function at all. Do you think that's how he would have created Adam and Eve? And then the Bible says that Adam and Eve were created in his exact image and likeness. So that then would backwards imply that God is only at 8% activation, that God himself is just a doofus. Really? See, Christians normally don't backtrack their logic and they don't forward their logic. They just stay in that rut under traditional doctrine. They stay in that rut. They don't think forward and they don't think backward. They don't ask the questions. Or if they do, they're shot down. Oh, the Bible doesn't say that. I was sitting in a Sunday school in a Baptist church. It was a couple decades ago or so. That was close by, so I was taking my boys at the time there. It was a nice Sunday school and everything. But I felt the Lord prompt me to say something during the Sunday school lesson there, and so I said something. And the teacher immediately said, the Bible doesn't say that. Well, okay. I'm not going to get anywhere with that guy. I'm not going to even go further with what I commented on. I knew right then he's closed off to the Holy Spirit. He may know a lot about the Bible, but he doesn't know the rhema word. See, the rhema word, there's the written word, there's the rhema word. In order to get to the rhema word, you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and walk in the Holy Spirit, and at least enough where the Holy Spirit can be active to quicken. In other words, your spirit must be sensitive enough that when the Holy Spirit quickens something to you, you're hearing it. But then it's up to you whether you act on it or maybe you have to wait for a while. Maybe the Lord instructs you, I'm going to show you something, but you have to wait a while before you act on it. We know a lot of people that receive dreams and visions or even direct encounters with Jesus, the request is now just wait a while. I'll give you the okay when the time is right, but for now, just sit on it. Because if you were to release some of this information right when you get it, not only might you not have the proper understanding or even the proper scriptural foundation for what you're going to put out, but your audience might not as well. So if Jesus asked you to just hold off for a while, I'm giving you a heads up here, but I want you to hold off a while because maybe he's preparing the audience in their walk with him to get to the point where they will receive that information They'll be able to receive it rather than reject it. Okay. Now, to be fair with pastors and everything, they are the shepherds of their flock. They are the gatekeepers. So a good shepherd will guard his flock to his life. He'll lay his life down for his flock. So he's responsible for what doctrines come into his flock and what doesn't. Okay. So you can kind of understand why they might put the kibosh on some of these advanced ideas and stuff, these advanced notions, and they might resort just to traditional doctrine, traditional understanding Christianity as their fallback. And to be fair also is, my goodness, you think what pastors have to go through with their congregations. I mean, you got people from A to Z, all kinds of walks of life and problems and everything that come to the church and need help from the pastor. He's got to like be a, you know, he's got to be everything to everybody. And he's got to be on that pedestal all the time. You can't be a real person, you know, as much as you might want to be. He's not allowed to be a real person. He's put on that pedestal. People come to him for advice and prayer support and knowledge support and everything. He's on call 24/7. So in order to get into some of these areas like what I've been exposed to, would be a serious, he or she would have to take a serious sabbatical from being a pastor to deep dive into these subjects. Kind of like what Apostle Paul did on the road to Damascus. He just didn't go directly and start preaching the gospel. Like 3 years out at a monastery someplace where they had original documentation. He had to go back to the source material because this was such a world-shaking event to him that he had to go back to original source material and read through it, pray through it, and seek the Lord. Because he was dead serious about in his former life about persecuting and putting to death Christians. There are reprobates in his mind and his worldview of his faith. Okay. And to have that all turned up inside, upside down, inside out, he had to, my goodness, he had to go back to source material and make sure whether he's right or wrong on this. You know, what's the deal here? Well, thank God he had a place to go to secure himself away and to deep dive into his studies and prayer and fast and whatever he did. And then when he emerged from that, he didn't go directly into public ministry. He went back to, I think it was Jerusalem, was it? And got together with James and John or something and talked with them about things, you know, because they had already converted. They were already Christians, good foundation in the faith, okay? So he wanted to converse with them about his experiences and maybe some questions he had from their perspective and things so he could get his theology straight. So to be fair to the pastors and priests and everybody and that's in some kind of leadership position, this is tough going. I've been down so many rabbit holes over the years that I didn't have a mentor that I could go to and talk to and stuff. Once in a while, I might have a friend here and there who would listen to me, but they might have thought I was nuts or something. I don't know, but they're being polite. It pains me that when this disclosure comes out and you get into grays, you get into reptilians, you get into Dracos, you get into all this nasty stuff, that most pastors, most rabbis, imams are not going to be ready for this. And most congregants are not going to be ready for this. And beyond this first disclosure, whether it does or not, but later on, that they claim to be our creators. How do we reconcile that to Scripture? Of course, Christians are going to fall back to, no, God is our creator. Jesus Christ, okay, not aliens. Well, okay, so how do you then converse with those who don't believe that and think the aliens are creators? Because I've heard accounts and others have where maybe somebody was a Christian, they were good in the faith, but then they come across Sitchin's material, they come across somebody else's material, or they listen to a YouTube video, and they end up losing their faith. Maybe even over just one topic. not the whole shebang, just one little topic, and their face is gone. Well, I guess their faith was pretty shallow to begin with. But it's unfortunate because with the correct answers, that person's faith could have been retained and strengthened with the correct answers. All right. Now, in order to understand that the Anunnaki are creators theme, let's look at our current times, what's happened here. Let's take the country of India, for example. So India, long tradition, and other countries as well, but India is a good example. Long tradition of farmers, for example, farmers. So they plant corn, right? And we all know that corn produces corn on the cob, and then, so that's lots of kernels of corn. So they use what they use for eating purposes, but they always set aside enough seed for next year's planting. And this has been traditional for hundreds of thousands of years of doing it this way. And so Monsanto comes in and beguiles the government in India to set up shop in India and solicit the farmers, pay them a big, you know, more money than they would get traditionally to hand over their sovereignty of their corn to Monsanto. So Monsanto then offers them, sells them their seed. Well, the trouble is now that the farmers that still operated under the traditional model that, okay, they sell what they sell, but they keep some on reserve for next year's planting, but that's now Monsanto's seed. It's not their traditional seed anymore. It's Monsanto's seed. It's their patented product. And when they signed up for this program, they were paid, maybe unknowns to them, to the farmers, but they were paid to give up their sovereignty, to give up their traditional way of farming. And so if they stayed on that course, Monsanto's lawyers, like a bunch of jackals, hyenas, would go to court and sue the pants off these poor farmers and bankrupt them purposefully. And a lot of them committed suicide because of that. The seed belonged to Monsanto, no longer to Mother Nature. Now let's look at from a different angle. Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, was it? All these companies, big pharma companies that got in on the COVID-19 vaccine deception. Anybody who received the COVID-19 vaccine, you are no longer sovereign unto yourself. Your body belongs to them, period. You signed on the dotted line. They injected their crap into your body, which is nanoparticles that literally take over the functions on the cellular level of your body and get transformed into your DNA that gets passed on to your children. So you and your children and grandchildren will hereafter belong to these companies. You are no longer sovereign. Even if you're a Christian, if you're not aware of this, you've been sucker punched, brothers and sisters, and you'll be swept away by the great delusion. Because embedded in those vaccines is a technology to override your own thoughts, your own actions. The technology is embedded in you now into every cell of your body. It belongs to them, to the serpent seed. You now belong to the serpent seed. And the only way out of that is if you repent and cry out unto the Lord Jesus Christ, because you may have done this unbeknownst of the dangers. Maybe you trusted your doctor, your nurse, or you trusted your pastor who was paid off by the government, by the way, to solicit you to take the serpent seed vaccine. Yeah, a lot of pastors are paid to do this. They're turncoats. They weren't guarding their flocks. And the government comes out with scriptures to entice people. the same thing that the Satan, the devil, did with Jesus at the end of his 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness at his weakest moment. Get it? Weakest moment. That's when the devil appears to Jesus and tempts him three times. With what? Bold-faced lies? No. With God's word. And that's what these pastors were bought off by the government, tempted their congregations with God's word, weaponized against them. So if you still belong in a church like that, you need to repent and get out, like yesterday. The only way to get out of that, and Diana has also covered this, you have to repent to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, you may not have known about the deception. Maybe you trusted your doctor, your nurse. You were maybe fearful of all the people who are dying everywhere. And so fear got the best of you, you know, and you wanted to get your life back and get back to normal. And so this was the only way they figured I could get my life back. And a lot of people did it that way. No, you're not going to get your life back. You're going to get the serpent seed injection. You're going to get what the serpent seed wants out of your life, not what you want. You signed on the dotted line. The only way to revoke that is through the blood of Jesus. You better do it fast because they're amping up their program. They're amping it up fast. What do you think all these data centers, coupled with the rollout of 5G and even 6G, is going to do, folks? God gave me a quickening. It was like a flash in my mind this past week, and I had to think through it, but it made total sense. So it was a combination of you can read it, you can watch YouTube videos about these massive, I mean, one of these data centers is twice the size of Manhattan in New York. Who in the world needs a data center that big? That's not just one of them. There's thousands of them already built and running all across the United States, let alone the rest of the world, and thousands more going to be built. And President Trump signed an executive order to fast-track the development of AI data centers and to revoke, to stop any states that might have hesitations or even stop it, or even local communities to stop it. That on the federal level, it's going to be bamboozled, bulldozed right over the top of all of us. So whose side is Trump on after all? He's showing his true colors, folks. Now, I voted for the guy because it's a better choice than that lady, but a better choice unto what end, right? We don't really have a choice in elections anymore. It's not elections, it's selections. The powers that be select who they want to run on both sides of the aisle, so that no matter whether Democrat or Republican wins, they win. It's all controlled theater. It's scripted. You do your faithful part to go vote, and they pull the rug out from underneath you by manipulating electronic votes and mail-in votes and mysterious vans show up in the middle of the night with thousands of votes. They're all duplicates of one another, but they get run through, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody wins. Elections are not rigged, folks. So the deception will continue moving forward. So when this strong delusion, getting back to Monsanto and the COVID vaccines, and your body is no longer belongs to you. It belongs to these pharma corporations, to the serpent seed. And the only way out of that is to repent, a true repentance, and to plead the blood of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus through every cell, every part of your body. What happens to the body affects the soul, which affects the spirit. What affects the spirit affects the soul, affects the body. What affects the soul affects the spirit, affects the body. It's all interlinked. So when you plead the blood of Jesus, even over your flesh body, you need to include your soul and your spirit as well. And be tenacious about it until you know that you know that you know you are cleansed by the blood of Jesus of the venom of the serpent and their serpent seed. Now, for those who are anti-vaccine, they claim you're being an anti-Semite if you're anti-vaccine. You're an anti-Semite if you have any empathy for those evil Palestinians and the evil Palestinians and Christians on the West Bank, you're an anti-Semite. Hey, where can I sign up? Because I'm an anti-Semite. I'm not an anti-Jewish. I'm not anti those who are truly from the tribe of Judah. They are our brothers and sisters by through lineage, but I am anti-Semite for those who claim to be Jews but are not, who claim to be from the tribe of Judah but are not. I am against them because they are the serpent seed. So, in analyzing Monsanto with over there in India, how that plays out, and looking at a more recent time with the COVID vaccines, and now these big pharma corporations own the people, own their genetics, own their DNA, even in the future generations. And again, you need to repent and plead the blood of Jesus. And if you don't have kids yet, you need to plead the blood of Jesus over your sperm men and ladies over your eggs to cleanse them of that serpent venom. So when you do have kids, and then when you do become ladies pregnant, you still plead the blood of Jesus over your fetus, over your baby that's developing. You plead the blood of Jesus, and you start reading scriptures. You start reading the Bible to your baby. Studies on babies in the womb is just amazing. I mean, I've read a few. I'm not deep diving into it, have deep dived into it, but I've read enough to realize that babies in the womb, they're incredibly smart. They're like little sponges that absorb everything, you know. So you could read the Bible to them while they're in the womb. You could play beautiful music. You could, read novels to them to give them a heads up. You could explain simple sentence structures, you know, what this means, what that means kind of thing. And you could allow them to get a heads up in life right from inside the womb. Okay, rather than waiting till they're born and then waiting, you know, and then their little minds become corrupted by the world around them. And at 2 years old, they already have a cell phone in their hand. Okay, and that's frying their little brains. Okay, so they become zombies later in life. And this is real, folks. I'm not making it up. See, the thing with cell towers, folks, even back in the days of before cell towers proper, microwave towers that would transmit communications through microwave towers. Microwave towers, Gwen towers, cell towers. Okay, we've become so accustomed to cell phones that they're now a way of life. And what would we ever do without cell phones, right? Well, so they're embedded in every part of our lives anymore, cell phones. I learned this back in the 80s from stuff I read before cell phones came out, that the technology had already existed back then. Even back, roll a clock back to the 50s and 60s. All you have to do, folks, as far as it be, is amp up that signal. Pick your tower, pick your method. Microwaves, cell towers, Gwen towers, satellite transmissions, all these modern ways of communication that involve electronics, even your telephone, landline. All you have to do is amp up the signal. Pop! You drop dead from an aneurysm and nobody knows why. Nobody knows why. Poor Fred just dropped dead. Got home, Mary, died in her sleep. Full life ahead of her. Had the world by the tail. Gone. She slept with a cell phone under her pillow every night. She couldn't live without her cell phone. Most cheerful young lady you could ever encounter, full of life and vim and vigor and love in her heart. Now she's gone because she slept with a cell phone under her pillow every night because she just couldn't let go of that addiction. They have your number, especially if you've taken the COVID vax. They got your number. See, your DNA is unique to you, a unique electromagnetic signature. A unique frequency. And when they find your frequency, they can get to you one way or another and end your sorry life as a useless eater on their planet. Their planet. The serpent seed planet. So the understanding I got this past week with these data centers, getting constructed all over the place. What pains me, see, I grew up on a farm. One of the things that pains me about this, I grew up on a farm, so I know the value of ag land, good, productive ag land, but you'll find more often than not that, like, business parks, industrial parks, housing development sites are built on the most lucrative ag land because we're making money, big money. But you're losing your most productive ag land. And so the farmers, the ag producers have to move to less productive land, meaning they have to put more inputs into that land to get the same outcome that they were having before. So at some point, we're going to all starve to death because of this. Why don't you go pick the worthless land and build your stuff there and leave the ag land alone? But the agenda is to destroy the ag land. So we all end up starving to death. So these big data centers, we already know they gobble up tons and tons and tons of electricity. And electrical rates all across the country are skyrocketing because of this. And our power transmission lines can't keep up. So at some point, it's going to come a point of no return, where the data centers will be gobbling up so much electricity, and who's going to get the priority? You with your air conditioner so you don't drop dead from heat in the summer, or keeping those massive CPU data centers going during the summer? Who's going to have the priority? The data centers are, because they're making money while you are a useless eater. Or you're too old to be alive anymore. Why don't you just drop dead, save money from Medicare, Medicaid, and all these entitlement programs. You know what, folks? Big business, big government, big military wouldn't exist if it wasn't for entitlement programs just for them. So who's the big users of entitlement programs from the government? It's you guys, living off the poor. And God's word has a lot to say about those who grind the faces of the poor into the ground, into the dirt. He has a lot of things to say about that. All throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, your backsides, Mr. Billionaires, are going to be grass one day. Everything that everything that you've built up, all your vast personal empires are going to be stripped from you bare. The angel of death. You've just left your body. You've died, Mr. Billionaire. But it's too late, because your whole life you denied Jesus. Your whole life you served the wrong God. Your whole life is now going to be burned up for all eternity. There'll be no one coming to your rescue, because they're burning up too. Even Lucifer, who you worshipped, he promised you eternal life. But then even he will be thrown into the lake of fire at the end. Jesus Christ is the only answer to get out of this mess. So you have a limited time. These data centers, they gobble up massive amounts of electricity. And even though we could, you know, there are solutions to this, electricity. And so people are fast tracking on the front burner solutions to this energy problem. So like mini or micro nuclear reactors that could produce the energy that these data centers require, thereby not taking any energy from the rest of the world. Well, that'd be a good solution, but unfortunately, these data centers also need tons and tons of water to cool all those processors. They're operating at super hot speeds, folks, so it takes a lot of cold water to keep them cool so they can operate, function properly. They're gobbling up tons of energy, electricity, and gobbling up tons of water. And so the day will come. It's already coming for some folks. I've read reports already or on YouTube videos. People go, they've always had water in the past. They go, you know, we all do. We go, we wash dishes, wash our hands. But the day comes when drip, drip, drip. What happened to the water? Data center, gobble it up, all the aquifer water. one of the purposes of these data centers is the Internet of Things. They're going to make it so that if you don't have a smart TV, smart fridge, smart toilet, smart microwave, smart oven, smart, you won't be allowed to connect to your electricity needs. You won't be allowed to connect to anything. You'll have to sit in the dark or freeze to death or cook to death in the summer, right? So if you sign up with smart everything, a smart home, you know, then you're good with Flynn. You can get the electricity you need, but it's going to be rationed. That's right, folks. Electricity you are going to get is going to be rationed because the data centers are gobbling it all up. Well, there's going to be a little bit left. So the little bit that's left for everybody else is going to have to be rationed. In order to ration it properly, we got to have it connected to everybody's home. And then everybody's going to have a digital ID. That's what's coming up, folks. Trump administration wants banks to be the front guys to get everybody signed up with digital IDs. So on the surface, that sounds okay, fine, you know, but behind it all, that means a face scan, facial scan, iris scan, thumbprints. You're a criminal. You're guilty and you'll never be allowed to prove yourself innocent because you'll be on digital ID currency. So if you try to prove your innocence, they will simply turn off your life. You get in the picture, folks? It's a digital gulag. I'm not the only one saying this. Other people smarter than me and less smarter than me are understanding this. But most people just go about their, you know, like sheep led to the slaughter, totally oblivious that they're being set up for a slaughter. You couple all this together. The data centers, 5G, 6G, the vaccines with the nanoparticulate communication devices all through every cell of your body, connecting you to the Internet of Things, and all the household appliances, your cell phone, everything in your life connected to the Internet of Things. You can't even have a private thought in your head anymore without them knowing it. No longer will you, you know, go on the Internet, social post somewhere to express your opinion about something. They will know your opinion before you even know your opinion because it's embedded in your brain and they can manipulate your thoughts. Not only can they shut you off, shut you down, causing brain aneurysm if you get to be too much of a problem for them, but they can control your thoughts. As the Bible say, we're to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Well, how are you going to do that if they're overriding the physical mechanism of your brain chemistry that in the physical realm generates your thoughts? Our thoughts don't originate from the physical brain, but that's the physical interface in our three-dimensional realm that deals with thoughts. It's not the origin of thoughts, but it processes of the thoughts is our brain. It's a three-dimensional mechanism. Our flesh bodies are avatar suits to interact with this three-dimensional realm. But the soul realm is where true memory resides. Everything that's ever happened to you, everything that's been said to you, everything you've read, everything you've experienced through all the days of your life is recorded in the soul realm. You never truly forget anything. If you could successfully tap into the fullness of your soul realm, from your brain realm into your soul realm, you could have perfect memory recall of everything without driving yourself crazy. Okay? Because Adam and Eve had that ability. Yes, folks. Do you think God would have created Adam and Eve as doofuses? Couldn't find their backsides with both hands as poor watchers had it come down out of pity for mankind and teach us how to plant wheat, corn, how to make simple spoons and forks so we could feed ourselves, you know, and how to hunt, how to plant, because God surely wouldn't, because he had judged us, thrown us out of the Garden of Eden, you know. So these poor watchers took pity on us. That's how they're going to spin it. Or thereabouts, they're going to spin it that way. And that's not nothing new. You can read about it already. It's been known for decades or longer that that's their angle to this. That the Anunnaki came and took pity upon us. Well, the story there is that they came to Earth to mine gold, right? Earth has got a lot of gold, and they're running short on gold. They need gold on their planet, so they came here to mine gold. So it became laborious for them. So these highly intelligent, high-tech Anunnaki, they had to utilize brute force of early ape men to do the mining work because it just tired them so much. You know, talk about the society of entitlements here is the Anunnaki themselves. Get off your dead butts and go work in the mines, you lazy butts, okay? But no, they had to get these ape men, right? Pre-human type beings. And then the story goes that they then mixed in their DNA with these ape people DNA to create a human-like workforce, right? In the beginning, they were not procreative. So they couldn't procreate. So they then supposedly the story goes that was the early pre-Adamic race to go work in the mines, right? So eventually they say, well, you know, we're working them to death, literally working them to death, and there's only a limited supply of ape men around. So we have to come up with a mechanism so they can procreate, so we don't have to depend on a limited supply of ape men. And mix DNA with them. So we put the procreation ability into these early humanoids, you know, so they can now procreate. Okay, so that's the plan. So then we can have multi-generational workers in the mines to mine gold. I find that preposterous. Yeah, tell me another story, you know. That's the story they're going to want us to believe in. So think about that for a minute. In combination of Monsanto or in India, with Pfizer and the other big pharmas doing their COVID-19 vaccine, injecting that into those who took the vaccine, now becoming their property. So when the Anunnaki came and injected their DNA into whoever it was, actually was, now the Anunnaki own them. You see the parallel here, folks, the precedent. So the Anunnaki can say that, okay, the ape men were here before, so we're not their creators, but we are the creators of these humans that we created to work in the mines, and they became intelligent and educated and everything, and so they ended up rebelling and kicking us out, and the humans took over the place, right, kind of thing, charted their own course. Okay, so that's the angle. That's how they can make the claim that they are our creators, is because they put their mark into us at whatever period of time it was. They put their mark. They mingled their DNA with our DNA. Now, where does that actually happen? You have to get, as a side note, going back to the data centers, the parallel there is the data centers are the new giants, the new Nephilim. The data centers, the CPUs that run these data centers, these cutting edge CPUs are breaching the dimensional barriers that God put in place to keep us from them. Now picture pre-flood giants, and they get wiped out in the flood. They were never meant to be. So their souls, their spirit energy, whatever it is, can neither go to heaven nor to hell in this interim time period. They don't have a destination, so they're condemned to roam the earth. Once the earth becomes earth again, the waters recede and everything, and they're roaming the earth looking for habitations, i.e. humans that they can infect. We typically call these spirit beings, soul beings, demons, and that would be correct, a correct interpretation. The bulk of demons come from these giants, okay? But there are other demons that come from fallen angels. If Lucifer himself can get ticked off at some of his angels, I mean, it's not always a happy camper situation with Lucifer and his fallen buddies, okay? Sometimes, you know, you look at pigs, okay? I grew up on a farm. If anybody's grown on a farm and I had pigs, they can get really vicious with one another. You know, on the one hand, they can be a bunch of happy pigs, right? You know, just lazing around, you know, the slop and the mire and everything. And you feed the hogs, you can feed them anything. Slop and the hogs, you feed them anything, right? And a lot of people are that way. You can just feed them anything, just gobble it up. And not just earthly food, but you can feed them anything you want of intellectual food, you know, stuff, and they'll just gobble it up. They'll make no discernment whatsoever of what they're eating. No distinction. They'll just eat it. And we look at Jesus when he cast the demons out of that guy in the cemetery. There was a herd of pigs nearby. He rightfully, correctly cast those demons into that herd of pigs because they're that similar. The herd of pigs were fit extensions for those demons. You getting what I'm saying? But those pigs prior to this were probably happy pigs being doing what pigs do, right? But when the demons entered them, it drove the pigs insane to the point of committing suicide, of jumping off the cliff. Even the pigs, as disgusting as they are, couldn't put up with the demons inside of them. So these giants are primarily, but not exclusively, primarily the soul energies, spirits of the Nephilim, the pre-flood giants. We can also, if we understand that, come to understanding, the Bible says, and afterwards. We believe that Moses wrote this, right? That there were giants in those days and afterwards. It's Genesis chapter 6. Do you suppose he's writing from inspiration from the Lord, or does he have actual tangible evidence and exposure to the giants that were already there in the land of Canaan? Remember, he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. Pharaoh is nobody's dummy. He is highly educated. Don't you suppose he would have known about the giants over there in land of Canaan, the milk of honey, right? Wouldn't he have known? Wouldn't the high priest have known? Wouldn't the civilization per se of Egypt known about the giants over there? Don't you think that Jethro living over in that area would have already known about the giants because they were already there? The whole region would have known about the giants of Canaan. The whole region knew about them. So when Moses says, and afterwards, he's writing from direct knowledge. So they would have already known, but sometimes even our day of information explosion all over the place, you find people are totally oblivious. Okay. So here we are now talking about giants, and we're aware of them. We know about them. We can study about them, but you go to your average Joe and average Jane, here and there and around the world, and they don't have a clue. They think you're out of your mind, or maybe you're in you got demons. You know, you go to church and they, oh, you're full of demons, brother. You know, you got to rebuke that. So they would have known about him. But there would have been pockets of people that might not have known about him. So they were totally oblivious. So Moses then, when he leads the Hebrew people, there weren't Jews yet at that time. So you find teachings from various people that Adam and Eve were the first Jews on the planet. No, they weren't. They were not Jews. Abraham was not a Jew. There wasn't a Jew on the planet at Abraham's time. Whether through me or others, the truth will be put forth about these issues. So today you find pockets of ignorance. Back then you probably found pockets of ignorance where people were totally oblivious to these realities. So Moses is leading the Israelites out of Egypt, and they go through this wilderness journey of 40 years. And they finally get to the point of where now it's feasible. They're finally there where they can cross the Jordan and enter the promised land. But we know the story. And because of what Moses did, and because other factors, they had to wander through the wilderness 40 more years until they came back. They were allowed to come back. Now Joshua and Caleb were the ones, because they were the too faithful out of the 12 spies to go in. 10, I mean, reality wise, think about the 10 spy, the 10 spies that came back with a negative, a fearful report. Now we can, I think we can kind of have empathy for them. We can understand why they would be fearful. How would you like to, be looking, staring up at a 12 foot, 13 foot monster? Okay. That can just step on you and squish you like a bug. How many of us would be bold? Yeah. Bring it on. You know? Yeah, all you have to do is grab you by their hand and pop your head off your shoulders or step on you or wield their sword and slice you in half. But on the other hand, they were looking in the natural realm, weren't they? They were not looking. It's like, where was their faith anchored? And then we look in contrast to the two spies that were faithful, that in spite of those giants, with God with us, we can go in and defeat them. They were 100% positive. So what's the difference? Because of where their faith was anchored. And that even brings us to today. Where is our faith anchored, folks? So if it's proven beyond a shadow of doubt that these Anunnaki, these giants, Nephilim from the ages past, the Greys, the reptoids, insectoids, the blue avians, okay, the Dracos are real. They're not just demons masquerading. Are you going to lose your faith, or is your faith anchored in Jesus? If it's absolutely proven that the 6,000-year theory of creation, that God created absolutely everything 6,000 years ago, is proven absolutely wrong, are you going to lose your faith? Or is your faith anchored in the theory or anchored in Jesus? If the rapture, the pre-trib rapture doesn't happen, like you're just anchored your faith in it, your whole theology is based on it, but it doesn't happen, are you going to lose your faith? Or is your faith anchored in Jesus no matter what? Okay. You got to decide that the window is closing. The window of opportunity to make these kind of decisions and to fortify exactly where is our faith anchored. That window's closing. So, you know, it's like get on the ball and decide this day whom you're going to serve. Okay. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to believe in? Who are you going to be anchored to? Okay? Regardless. So I believe that Dracos, reptilians, Anunnaki, Grays and whatever else, you know, is out there are real tangible beings as well as transdimensional beings. Here's the explanation, folks. Do you think the third dimensional reality ends at the outermost extent of the Earth's electromagnetic sphere and beyond that is not a third dimensional reality? Okay. That is all fake out there. Do you think we live, whether on a flat earth or round earth, that the earth has some kind of dome around it and what we perceive as planets, stars, galaxies, universes is just some kind of a sophisticated projection on this dome and it's all fake. We're just all ants in an ant form. And how great our God is, being the ant farmer that he is, huh? Whoa, what a great God we serve. That's totally stupid, folks. Totally stupid thinking. But you got a lot of Christians believing that way. Flat earth, hard dome. NASA never a straight answer. Put yourself in the shoes of the top echelon of NASA. And you're dealing with this high-end stuff. Day in, day out, 24/7, what are you going to do with it? You're going to tell the public the truth, the cutting edge truth of what all this is? If you're involved in the secret space program, maybe you're a top 4-star, 5-star general, and you're aware of all this stuff. Maybe you're at the top of that food chain, top of that pyramid. Are you going to necessarily going to go tell the public everything you know? Think it through. How freaky that would be. if you knew that there's a date set already of the next invasion of the Watchers, the return of the Anunnaki, you know pretty much when that date is set. You can tell the world, have everybody freak out, everything break down, chaos everywhere. It's a tough decision to make. Try to put yourselves in their shoes and then put yourself in Moses' shoes. He was taught in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. That's a big statement. That's Hebrews, what is it, 7:22 or something? 21:22 around there. Taught in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. That's, you could write volumes on that one verse of what Moses was taught in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. That even includes the dark arts. Oh, God would never let him do that. It was required training, required education, required training. He was required to do the same things that the priests were able to do through their chants and incantations and the Book of the Dead, the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. And he would probably, as part of his ritual, going through the various rituals, just like we have 33-degree masonry, but there's degrees beyond 33rd degree that are not advertised, okay? There's higher degrees than 33rd degrees. I don't know that personally. I've just heard about it, read about it, that kind of thing. Moses, being an heir to the throne of Egypt, it would have been required of him to not only know about this stuff, but be trained in it. You getting the picture of what he was capable of doing on the dark side of the force? If he wanted, it was required of him. Okay. Yeah. And part of his ritual, probably the graduation ceremony, you can picture, imagination, is taken to underneath of somewhere underneath the Sphinx, the Great Hall of Records that Atlanteans brought to Egypt. Some group of Atlanteans. There's other groups of Atlanteans that survived the Atlantis episode, and they took their records to Egypt, Himalayas, other places around the world. Survivor groups of Atlantis buried at the Sphinx Great Hall of Records. That would be the topmost, I can imagine, initiation ceremonies into the topmost ranks of Egyptian priesthood is the Great Hall of Records. So what I'm trying to portray is Moses would have been made privy to the true history of the human race, the true realities of the fallen angels and who they are, what they are, what they did, everything that the Atlanteans brought with them and sequestered in that library. And truly how far back it goes, well back further than 6,000 years, Adam and Eve, I assure you folks. We got a lot of trouble coming in all these time frames because Christianity, by and large, is sold hook, line, and sinker in the 6,000-year theory, and they're going to totally reject these things. They're not going to be able to have a viable explanation for things because they're hooked on the 6,000-year theory. They're not going to be able to unravel things properly. And so when they give their witness and testimony, it's going to call flat. Even amongst Christianity, there's going to be many that fall from the faith because of Christianity's inadequate answers for these things. So data centers are the new giants. But in a literal sense, the CPUs are transferring over. They're going through the boundaries that God established. So one of the outcomes of the Noah's flood was to establish dimensional boundaries. And so these spirits of the Nephilim, yeah, they can, as demons, inhabit into people, but they cannot cross over into, usually into our third dimensional reality. Now there's times when they can't. Electromagnetic flaps. Electromagnetic anomalies. That's why oftentimes around volcanoes you see UFO activity because there's a lot of electromagnetic activity going on there. And solar flares can create a electromagnetic opening where they can come out for a while and then they can't exist over here in third dimensional reality without the proper earth suits. So they're forced to go back into their dimensional reality. That's why you have these flaps, okay? So once they get a proper third dimensional earth suit, they'll be able to be here, okay? So consequently, our, the militaries of the world, the deep state know about this, and they are resurrecting the bodies of the Nephilim. So not only do you have some Nephilim giants that are sequestered away in caves and caverns in stasis chambers that I've read about, but you have active DNA extracted from giants and doing the bioengineering to recreate the avatar suits of the Nephilim so that the soul energy of the Nephilim, when these barriers are finally breached through these data centers, they can now enter into flesh bodies that are fit extensions for them. Okay. And these data centers is the required energy that's needed and computational power needed for this to happen. So it's thousands of data centers all over the country, not only to keep tabs on you and me and thoughts in our head, our thoughts before they know our thoughts before we know them. Okay. Kind of thing to control us as mindless zombies, but as energy source, tangible for the giants to reemerge. But it even gets worse for worse, folks, is you go watch the movie Howard the Duck. It's a 1980s movie by George Lucas, okay, in his early years, okay. And it got really bad reviews by the movie reviewers. When I first saw that movie, I knew exactly what he was talking about because the Lord had prepared me ahead of time. So, you know, I'm not just watching that movie for entertainment. I really watch movies for entertainment, only entertainment. I'm data mining it. So the Lord has shown me things. And then I went back, I think, two or three more other times, and I got the video here at home. So whenever I want, I can pop it in and data mine it some more. But in one of the things about that movie is the emergence, three-dimensional emergence of a scorpion creature. And Jesus said, you shall have power over serpents and scorpions. He wasn't, I think that's in Luke, okay? He wasn't talking about your the scorpions out in the desert or the serpents, you know, out in the jungles or something, you know, earth-based animal creatures. He was talking about these big bad boys that are coming back. You got a problem with demons, folks? And these giants are going to be emerging. You ain't seen nothing until you've seen the serpents and scorpions coming back to finish the job. Okay? I'm trying to get some of you, I'm trying to educate those who are already in the know of these kinds of things to bring you up to speed on this stuff, to think outside the box. Okay. But for those who aren't yet acquainted with some of the stuff, or maybe they're on the fence, yeah, it is. It's not fear porn, but it is fearful because the Bible says when these things, people will lose their hearts or, you know, have heart attacks. So drop dead on the spot for fear of these things that come upon the earth. So when these serpents and scorpions and giants just appear out of nowhere, you think, oh yeah, it's just another day in America or another day in Russia or another day in China. Oh, you know, go back to watching La La Land on TV, right? Get through another day with the freak show outside, right? No, they're coming back for a food fest and you're on their menu. I want to assure you folks, when they come back, you, humanity, are on their menu. They're not coming back here for milk and cookies and sing kumbaya at the fireplace out in the woods. They're coming back for a food fest, and you are their food. I'm serious, folks. I'm not making this up. We see evidence in the Old Testament in the book of Enoch. And I got all kinds of scriptures pulled up. But it, you see, just to get to this level of explanation thing, even before getting into the scriptural basis for this stuff, okay, to understand this stuff. But it's in there, properly understood. These giants, I'll read from Enoch quickly here, the book of Enoch. So this is from chapter 6. See, it's section 1. And it's chapter 6. And I'll just read it. It looks like a short chapter. And reflects Genesis chapter 6. And this is chapter 6 in the book of Enoch. So they sync up together. And it came to pass, when the children of men had multiplied, that in those days were born unto them beautiful and comely daughters. Now at 12 stranded DNA, 100% activated, even in their fallen state, and 98% activated, minus the direct connect to the Holy Spirit, of course, because they're now fallen. But do you think at that level of DNA activation, there were any women on the face of the earth that were not attractive? There wasn't an unattractive woman anywhere to be found. Every woman in the pre-flood world was drop-dead gorgeous. Their beauty was so overwhelming, not just in physical, but the soul, the beauty of their souls emanated through their flesh bodies, amplifying the beauty of their flesh bodies. You know, somebody who's gotten older in life, right? And they've aged gracefully, let's say. But you notice there's some wrinkles and there's a few sags here, but they've aged gracefully. And what's really attractive about them, you can see their soul through their eyes. Their soul emanates through their flesh body. And so you visually recognize they're getting older, but it doesn't matter because they're beautiful people. I'm not talking anything corrupt here. I'm just saying you recognize the beauty of that person, right? So imagine where your bodies don't get saggy. They don't get wrinkled. Every year of your life, you get more and more beautiful. And the soul realm, even though the soul realm was corrupted, but it still emanates an original beauty. These Anunnaki, these shapeshifters that are coming back, the giants, they're going to be every woman's dream. If you're not anchored and submissive to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to be your dream team. But you're going to be dead and in hell. They're not coming back to love you and cherish you for all the days of your life. They're coming back to feast on you. If you give them over to your sexual energy, same thing with you guys to the Nephilim women that are coming back. You give them your energy to them. They'll suck every ounce of energy onto you from you until you just drop. Like vampires. Suck every ounce of blood on from you until you just drop dead. And on to the next person. It's going to be a feeding fest. So be careful what you wish for. You got to know this ahead of time so you're not sucker punched when they show up. And they know that in the past, they were giants, so it was easy. The giants were easy to distinguish from the serpent seed. The serpent seed, the lineage of Cain, still exists today. And there's an explanation how it made it through the Noah's flood and everything. But they still exist today, and they blend in very well with the rest of the human race. It's very difficult to distinguish them sometimes between regular humans, the serpent seed. But the giants were obvious. So knowing that, and giants, even in, up to recent times, I've been watching YouTube videos that even in the 1800s, there's, as development was extending westward, you know, and development, and dams being built, bridges, you know, and railroads, and society was developing, moving westward and everything, building dams for power generation and irrigation, all that stuff, that they're uncovering caves and caverns and hillsides and everything of cemeteries of giants. And so it's reported in newspapers of the time, and Steve Quayle's been very big on deep diving into this, the giants, all over the world, even in recent times, okay? But the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. gets their hands on the giant bones of giants, and now all of a sudden the giants are missing or misplaced or nobody knows what happened to them, and, you know, they're just not there. Cover up. Who's trying to cover up the evidence? I would suggest the serpent seed. They don't want the competition. They don't want people to know yet what the narrative is going to be. So they want to remove that evidence so later on in our time now, they can sucker punch us. Oh, look at the giants! And thereby control the narrative. Thereby rewrite history. Thereby reinterpret scripture so we never come to the truth of what God's word is saying. No matter what angle you are on, what side of the fence you're on regarding God's word. Okay? Comely daughters and the angels, the children of the heaven, saw and what? Loved after them? No. It says they lusted after them. There's a difference between love and lust. We're all pretty much, it's 101 understanding of that, but sometimes it does get confusing, doesn't it? We've got to get a grip on it, right? Because they're coming back and they're going to be keying on this lust factor. They're going to be keen on this. They're going to be depending on it, and they're going to be promoting the lust factor when they come back. And said to one another, come, let us choose us wives from among the children of men and beget us children. They wanted their own lineage, their own children, their own lineage upon the earth. And Samjaza, who was their leader, said unto them, I fear ye will not indeed agree to do this deed, and I alone shall have to pay the penalty of a great sin. And they all answered him, these are the 200 watchers that came down on Mount Hermon, and said, let us all swear an oath, and all bind ourselves by mutual imprecations, not to abandon this plan, but to do this thing. See, they already knew better than to do this. They already knew not to do this, but they decided to do it anyway. But they were instructed not to do this by God himself. You don't cross the line. But yet they knew the instruction. They knew they were disobeying. Let us all swear an oath and then bind ourselves to mutual agreements, not to abandon this plan, but to do this thing. Then they swear that they all together and bound themselves by mutual agreements upon it. Contract. They contracted. And they were in all 200 who descended in the days of Jared. It wasn't right away. They didn't come down right away. You know, after Cain was born, the first alien human hybrid, the first serpent seed. And there's I covered this in shows before. I'll cover it again in the next show. But what happened in bringing forth Cain opened the door for this invasion. So imagine again, these watchers, these 200 watchers, they knew what the deal was with the serpent and Eve beginning Cain. So here's Cain already establishing his lineage on the earth that should not be. Cain should never have been born. And yet he was born of Eve, who was a flesh body, was a clone of Adam. Flesh body, but obvious female differences. So they're probably thinking, you know, if the serpent could do this, why can't we? And God didn't, you know, judge Cain to hell. He, in fact, warned people not to come into judgment against Cain, because God will deal with Cain and his lineage, not the people in the surrounding area. Leave the judgment of Cain to God to work out the deal. Okay? And we can extract that to today's time. So even though we're aware who the serpent seed are, we're to pray for them, stand in the gap for them. It is possible for them to receive redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the message of the Old Testament there, that through God's plan, it was possible. But whether they take the deal, that's their free will choice. And God now has his deal, his amnesty program through his son, Jesus Christ, amnesty. That all will be forgiven and washed clean through Jesus, but you've got to take the deal. There is no other deal in existence that can absolve these issues. So if you're a serpent seed, whether you know it or not, the way out of the curse is through Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty even for you, serpent seed, on the cross with his blood shed for you, serpent seed. Now the angels are looking at this. Well, look, the serpent got away with this to some extent. Okay. He wasn't immediately killed or anything and cast into hell kind of thing. So maybe we, if we join forces together, we can do the same thing, establish ourselves on the earth and look at all these gorgeous women. We can set up our own lineages. So, you know, kind of think through what they might have been thinking, you know, and looking at. So the 200 descend in the days of Jared. So it didn't happen right away. It was later on in the days of Jared on the summit of Mount Hermon, which still exists to this day, folks. And they called it Mount Hermon because they had sworn and bound themselves by mutual agreement upon it, contracted. And these are the names of their leaders. So list the names of leaders. Okay. So Mount Hermon. Let's bring it to modern day war with Iran. We are aware of in the book of Daniel about the Prince of Persia. I guarantee you, President Trump, in spite of all the high-tech weaponry the United States has, until and unless you are successful in binding the Prince of Persia, your efforts to bomb Iran back in the Stone Age will be futile. You're not just bombing physical things here. You're going up against one of the most powerful spiritual forces on the planet, the Prince of Persia. And let's see what the book of Daniel says. Chapter 10, verse 10, I'll start. And behold, a hand touched me, it's Daniel, and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man, greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. This is Daniel. Okay. Long line of faithfulness to the Lord on every detail of his life, but he's trembling in front of this angel. And he's no stranger to, you know, the world of paranormal, abnormal things, right? You know, back in those days that was anticipated. But this is a real deal angel right in front of him, right? How many of us would be freaking out if an angel appeared directly in front of us, or anything, a fallen angel, a demon, a giant appears out of nowhere? We'd all be freaking out, I would think. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard from the first day, and I have come because of your words. Here's the clincher, verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. The prince of the withstanding one of the holy angels? Are you joking me? This is a holy angel, but the prince of Persia was more powerful than this holy angel. And this holy angel had a call for backup support. Bring in the backup and Michael. But Michael, one of the chief, not the only, but one of the chief princes, an archangel with godly power, superpower, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. Now we have the kings of Persia also, supernatural beings, underneath the prince of the kingdom of Persia, and came to make you understand what has happened to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for the days yet to come. 21 days went by. So there's a lot in this story to unpack that we can benefit from. But one of the things is the prince of Persia and the kings of Persia. So until you bind them up in the spiritual dimension, your efforts to go to war against Persia will be futile, because the prince and the kings of Persia are in charge of that territory. Are you getting this, folks? Does Trump understand this? And even if he does, even if, was it Paula White, his personal preacher and teacher and faith leader, does she understand this? And if she does, are her prayers to bind up these beings pure? Does she have enough unfettered, pure spiritual power to go up against these guys when a holy angel couldn't do the job, but had a call up for backup support from Michael? Yeah, folks, this is real. This is the real deal. These super spiritual beings. This isn't a demon. This prince and kings of Persia are not demons, folks. Get it straight. They're not demons. They're high-ranking fallen angels assigned to this mission. And they're still there to this day. And there's others of them that lord over various regions of the earth. And until you bind them up, your efforts to go to war against China will be futile. Your efforts to go to war against Russia will be futile. Are we considering any of this stuff when we go to war? And so now this war is bleeding the nation dry. And I come to believe that this is all intentional, folks. This is not a mistake. It's not Trump being stupid or misinformed. Yeah, he dances to the tune of Netanyahu. Netanyahu has got the goods on Trump. Netanyahu wants or else. Okay, or else. But if you cooperate with me, Donald Trump, you're going to have the keys to the kingdom that I'm going to usher in to the world. The kingdom of the beast kingdom, is setting up all over the world, right around everywhere. Nations are signing up for data centers. We already know that Iran blew up one or more data centers on my Amazon or Google or something. You know, good. I wish that Iran could blow them all up. Not that I don't want any people getting blown up in the process, but if you could find a way to blow up these data centers without hurting the people, that would be great because of what they are and what they're going to be doing with these data centers. They're coming back, and they're coming back in these data centers, not only in giants, but the serpents, scorpions, for massive amounts of energy and massive amounts of data capability that they're going to require in this, when they come into this natural three-dimensional world. See, Satan and his buddies know that the day is coming soon, when they'll be cast down the earth. We're already seeing parts of that already happening with all the alien stuff going on all the place, all the weird phenomenon, right? They know that they themselves are going to be cast down, so they have to have the technology in place through their earthly disciples, okay, the earth-based human disciples and serpent seed disciples and shapeshifters and stuff, to get the technology in place so when Lucifer and his top echelon are finally here, they can then enter into our third dimensional reality, which they eventually will, they know they're coming to be cast into, and have this technology at their fingertips. One, again, the feeding frenzy on the human race. Two, that's those humans that don't cooperate with them. So if you cooperate them, then you get embedded into the hive mind, the cube, the absorbing, what was it in Star Trek? It doesn't come to me right now. I probably will later after the show, but those people absorbing the cube, your resistance is futile, right? You will be absorbed. So if you cooperate them, you get to be plugged in the internet and things and have all these supernatural powers and capabilities and everything. But it's going to backfire. We read this later on, Book of Revelation, where swords will break out. They'll wish they could die, but they won't. Death will be removed from them. Well, you can put a 45 head to your head or a claymore, step on a claymore mine or just stand in front of a tank round and your body is going to be reconstituted on the spot, and your soul will re-enter your body, and no matter what you do, you will not be able to achieve death. Because Satan is going to re-wage his ancient war. He attempted to do that in the run-up to the Noah's flood. He then attempted to do that again in the run-up to the Tower of Babel. There's a whole backstory in that, because the key to unraveling the true timeline beyond the 6,000 years lies within proper understanding of the Tower of Babel. And that's how it came to me. And once I understood that back in 75, the entire timeline started unfolding. And when you, again, getting back to the puzzles, okay, if you can have the big picture of that puzzle, then you can more quickly know where the individual pieces fit to assemble that big picture. But if you're operating in the dark, if you don't know what that big picture is to begin with, then you're going to be fumbling in the dark. You're going to be coming up with theory, you can go off on a tangents, you can lead a lot of people astray, thinking, no, the trunk of the elephant is the elephant and anything else is of the devil. And we're going to kill you because of your contrary beliefs, or we're going to ban you or something, right? So the run up, what's going on in the war in war against Iran is Greater Israel Project. Why eventually they're going to grab hold and take full control of Mount Hermon to welcome the next invasion of the Watchers, not the original 200. There's more Watchers that are coming, and they're going to welcome them back on Mount Hermon and back to take control of the world and all the technology be ready for them to be here, along with Lucifer and his top echelon buddies, along with the Watchers, along with the Giants. It's all going to be one big freak show. Okay, I'm done. Are you still there, Diana?
I'm thinking about this big freak show, and man, is it going to be excellent, Lauren. I mean, I just have a few little comments, but it boils down to no matter what the government's, whatever they announce, they can't be trusted. You know, we know the devil's a liar and those who follow him, they're liars. But the thing is, many of these disclosures, architecture, the fallen angel technology, all these different things, all these disclosures and the fact of how old the earth and the ages and all that, they're going to be factual, but they, the powers that be, so to speak, will present a false narrative, come to the wrong conclusion, all the things we've talked about before. And they're going to be saying that we are your gods, little g gods, and we've come to help. We've come to save you. But regardless of what's disclosed, it's going to shake the masses, as you brought out. And as you said, men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of what's coming. The point is, though, those that call themselves Christians, those that are going to the churches out there today, you said something, I don't know, a year or two ago. You said the church isn't ready, and we're not. You said the pastor's not, they've not taken care of the flock. They've not prepared them with the truth. And the church as a whole, when all these things start being presented and the world looks over to the church like, okay, what do you have to say? The church is going to come across as a bunch of country bumpkins, you know? Yeah. Yeah. We're going to be seen as totally irrelevant,
That's right, as a whole.
And so the question is like, for those listening, ask yourself, are you ready? Are you ready for what's coming upon the earth? Yeah. Do you have a love for the truth? Because if you don't, the Lord's going to turn those that do not have a love for the truth over to the strong delusion that they will believe the lie. That's very, very sobering. So, and it's time to press in, brothers and sisters. It really is. If things don't measure up to what you think, like he was talking about the rapture or whatever be the case, if things turn out, things are presented before you that don't match up with what you've been taught, what is your faith really anchored upon? Is it Jesus Christ? What will it take to shake your faith in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he came to do for you? Lauren, would you go ahead and close us in prayer concerning all that we spoke about here this evening, and we'll continue in the next episode.
Lord Jesus, we thank you in this lateness of hour that we can still utilize these instruments of technology to get your word out to people and to encourage people, to inform people, to get a heads up so they're not taken unawares. You've called us to be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. So that's a tall order, but it means that we can't be dupuses. We can't bury our heads in the sand. We can't live in la-la land. We can't pretend it's not happening. We have to be real, and we have to be fully and totally connected with you. So I ask, Lord Jesus, that you pour out your spirit upon all flesh like never before. as the enemy's amping up what they're doing, that you amp up what you're doing on your end to pour out your spirit. And that even means your spirit of revelation of what your word is truly talking about. Then not only me, but many, many others, as I've already seen on YouTube videos, there are others out there that are coming to the same understandings. And I don't know if they're Christians or not, but they're coming to the same understandings. We ask that you pour out your wisdom upon these people that seek wisdom, even if it's they're seeking out of carnal desires, that you'll turn their carnal desires into a spiritual quest to know you personally. That's come to realize the real truth is in your word that's now being revealed. Just like the angel said to Daniel, that seal up these words because they're meant for the end of days. We're there now. And now these words are being, will be, and are being unsealed for our understanding in these times. And we ask, Lord Jesus, to anoint your word in these times so many people will become wise and strong in your word and your will for them, their mission statement for why they're here at this time and this purpose. And even those who are, who deny you at the moment, Lord Jesus, that you continue to pound away at them until their last breath, pound away at them, work your will in their lives, even personally appear unto them. Pull out all the stops, Lord Jesus. And as we are your church, pour your wisdom, your love, your might, and your personal connectivity and faithfulness so that we may be faithful to you, even when we're not faithful, that you'll forgive us of our sins, forgive us of those of our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, even those who blatantly sin against you and your word. Because these are the last days harvest, and we pray that there will be a mighty harvest. In thy name, Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer, Lauren. And I stand in agreement. We're standing in one accord in that prayer. All right. God bless everyone. And until next time.